We got to recess back into public hearings.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. A question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We're now back into public session for public hearings. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I am going to read the rules of procedure for council zoning hearings prior to starting. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotypes concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken in consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any and all recommendations made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application, present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, state your name and home address before you make your statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there's more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the P&Z Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first hearing today is conditional use number 2076, Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for an event venue to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 62.157 acres, more or less, located on the north side of Johnson Road in the Smoky Hollow development. The tax parcels are District 533, Map 18, parcels 20.01 through 20.10. The 911 address is not available. Staff would note that the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on May 11th of 2017. Those minutes were included in the record. They deferred out a decision at that date, and last Thursday at their June 8th meeting, they did make a recommendation for approval of the application. That motion is in front of you today. There were six reasons to approve the application, and they included seven conditions, one of which is no events later than 11 p.m., food and beverage service and music or similar entertainment would be permitted, toilet facilities may be permitted as needed. Parking areas shall be generally shown on the site plan. No parking shall be permitted on nearby county roads. The interior drive and parking area should contain sufficient space for the park for the vehicles and shuttle buses to turn around completely on the site. All entrance locations shall be subject to review and approval of DLDOT, and the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Thank you.
Any questions from the council? If not, is the applicant here today?
Yes, sir.
Would you come forward and present your application, please? Be sure and give us your name and address first and sign in.
Yes, sir. My name is Joseph Mark Zarensic. I live at 37671 Lake Ridge Drive in Selbyville. And I'm going to try to do two things at once and chew gum, and I'm going to get myself in trouble here. I'm here today to ask your permission, as the lady stated, to use the property as a primarily a wedding venue event. I would like to do it in two stages. Primarily starting with tented events, and if successful, move to build a barn that would be able to hold approximately 200 people to have events that would not be subject to the weather. On the site plan that you have in front of you, I show where the parking would be, I show where the tented events would be, and I show where the barn would eventually be built on the property. I have a letter from DLDOT of no objection for the entrance, and I have shown all of the requirements on that site plan that I think you have in front of you.
Do you have anything else to add?
That's pretty much it, sir.
Are there any questions from council?
All the land on this drawing here, is all these lots, lot one, two, whatever, do you own all of those?
Yes, sir.
Do they come out of the mix, or do they stay in the mix?
I think the way that this got approved by the council, they had some concern that if I ever sold a lot in here to somebody else, we would have approved a venue right next to this individual to have an event that 200 people could come to. And I said, as long as I own all of the lots, would it be okay to do this venue event? Because they didn't want to start a problem with other subdivisions. And I said, that's a condition that I would be fine to have, that as long as I own all of the lots in the subdivision, that I would do the venue. If I were to ever sell the property to anybody else or sell lots to anybody else, then it could be null and void.
Ms. Cornwell, what was the condition that addressed that issue?
There isn't actually a condition. They did note that the site is within a subdivision owned entirely by the applicant, and that so it didn't end up being a condition of approval.
It is not condition of approval.
That is not a condition of approval from the Planning Commission.
But you'd be okay if it was.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No problem.
And looking at the map, I got to get close to the mic here because I'll get yelled at. Is this the only part of the subdivision that you own, or does the road going back?
I own everything. I own the road going back. I own everything on that plat and the property adjacent to it, which isn't shown on the plat. There's not another dwelling within 11, 12, 1300 feet at least of where I'm going to do anything on the property.
Okay. So Can I ask another question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
You mentioned weddings. Would that be the only thing that would
be here? Well, no. There could be, let's say there's a large business and they want to have a big business meeting, or they want to have a big Christmas party, or things of that nature. It's a venue. It's not just strictly weddings, but I think primarily it would be.
Okay, because we're a little vent sensitive. Is the
no, these aren't. Okay, I understand. I mean, we could put a limit on how many people I have come here too. I mean, I'm not looking to bring concerts in, and that's not what I'm doing. I'm going to do weddings, business gatherings, family gatherings, reunions, that type of thing. I'm not. I don't want to be having rock bands come in and do that kind of stuff. That's not what this is for.
Okay.
My wife would shoot me.
All right.
Any more questions of council?
That's all the questions I have.
There are no questions for council. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? Seeing
anybody, anybody want to get married?
Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition?
Rehearsal here, right?
Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
Well, you can have a seat, sir.
Thank you.
We'll close the public hearing. It's okay with council, close the public record. Ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for an event venue to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 62.157 acres, more or less, for the reasons read into the record by Ms. Cornwell, given by planning and zoning with the seven conditions.
Is there any thought to, I realize this is in Mr. Arlett's district, isn't it?
It is.
Do you want to allow him to participate in this, or you want to do something different?
That's your question. I think you're okay as you go.
Doesn't matter to me.
I
entertain a motion then.
Make a motion to carry on.
Mr. Wilson makes a motion to grant conditional use 2076 for the reasons and with the conditions as read. Do I have a second to that? Okay.
I got a problem.
You got a problem with it?
No, I have a potential conflict, so I'm trying not to participate.
Okay.
All right. I like the when I first looked at it, I didn't like it. Is this a chance to talk, or do we second and then go?
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
I think that if the condition of that the no lots be sold, if they were sold, there would have to be some communication that this is a venue, that venues are held here, right? I mean, I don't know how to work that in. I just think.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're okay buying a lot in a subdivision that has a venue operation going on, as long as there's a stipulation in the deed, I would be okay. I just wouldn't want somebody to.
No, I'd say, yeah.
Buy one and then.
I would agree.
And then say, God, I didn't know, because
sure.
This could grow into something great, right? And I just think that if we deed restrict it to at least the seven lot people would know that there's an approval of an event venue here. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do that. Sorry about that, right? I don't know how to do that. Everett, I'm really
Ms. Cornwell.
Go ahead.
I'm going to ask her a question. You can go ahead, Everett. You got something written up?
I am drafting something, so why don't you ask Ms. Cornwell a question?
My question, I guess, Ms. Cornwell, I dreamt this up. Did I read somewhere in the presentation that we got that the thought is to, I mean, now it's going to be a tent, and I guess, porta-potties, all that kind of stuff, that down the road is going to be a structure built there, a barn or something, and other things, or did I dream that up?
No, he did state at the Planning Commission meeting that potentially in the future he may build a barn or another building similar to that and use that for events as well, but that would be in the future.
Now, what would he need to do if he wanted to do that?
I think he would just need to update his site plan because the use would still be for an event venue.
Okay.
One thing that bothers me is I own about 100 acres out there on a farm somewhere, but if I get ready to have a picnic, I hate that. I think I got to come here and get a permit that I can have somebody come by to a picnic.
Nobody else would, but you probably would, Mr. Wilson.
I think we're going too far.
We'd require you alone to have a picnic permit.
And even the Planning Commission in their making of the motion said it would be limited in scope and will not require any significant additional built permanent structures on the property. So they did recognize that there could be that future barn, but not like, you know, a potentially like a 10,000 square foot building, but just something smaller to have.
A concert venue or something. Yeah,
I think a barn to have like, you know, maybe 100 people maybe in. I think that was what the applicant was thinking of. Potentially much further down the line.
Okay.
Well, how's that piece of land zoned anyway? Is it AR1?
It is GR.
GR.
It is general residence.
Yeah.
General residential.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Moore, you have a...
Yes, a proposed amendment. If any lots in the subdivision are sold, then the deeds conveying the lots are to contain language notifying future owners of the event venue. So... something like that. So you just want them notified so when they buy, they know that's the case. It's possible we should put contract and deeds. Would have it.
Yeah. I just, does that work in the real estate world, George?
A disclosure?
Yeah.
Disclosures are always really good. It can't hurt with requiring disclosures.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. It's a big farm. I mean, it's 60. That the acres that he's looking at is 62. So if somebody on the other side was going to buy, if he was going to sell one of those other lots on the other side, that'd be fine as long as somebody said, "I understand it." That
I'm buying a lot.
I'm buying a lot, and there's a venue going to happen every time somebody wants to get married or whatever union or whatever. And the parking would be on the 62 acres, not on the street, correct?
Correct.
Janelle,
correct.
Because the DLDOT said no parking on the street.
Right, and I think one of the conditions is that no parking shall be permitted on any nearby county roads, so it would have to be on site.
Yeah. You already showed on the final site plan, yeah.
Does that mean it can be written in the deed? It would be written in deed.
Well,
I sold a lot some years ago, and after I sold the lot, any spraying could be done with an airplane or any kind of anything that's done by farming, you couldn't do them about it. Can it be written in also in the deed, say the same thing?
That's what we're saying, right?
Yes. That's what we're putting in.
I'm just notifying the other,
because it is a subdivision.
I'm just wondering if that's real clear. It wasn't so clear to me. I'm glad you said that, George. I mean, IG.
What have you written up?
That's almost fighting words, isn't it?
If any lots in the subdivision are sold, then the contract and the deeds are to contain language notifying future owners of the event venue.
Okay. You okay with that?
I am.
Why should we do that?
Okay. All right. So
we would need a motion.
Let's back up here. You read the short title.
Yes.
We would need a motion for the amendment.
That's correct.
And then a motion to approve as amended.
Correct.
So if you want to read that one more time, we'll see if we get a motion for that amendment.
If any lots in the subdivision are sold, then the contract and the deeds are to contain language notifying future owners of the event venue.
That's a motion, Mr. Burton.
I'll make that motion.
Second, Mr. Wilson, to approve that amendment as read by Mr. Moore. Any questions on that? We'll take the vote. Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Now, Mr. Moore, if you would read
short
title again.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for an event venue to be located on certain parts of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 62.157 acres, more or less, as amended.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Burton. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. Thank
next.
You. The next hearing is conditional use number 2075. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for a multifamily 100 townhouse units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 30.95 acres, more or less, located at the southwest corner of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, and Sloan Road, Road 49. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 17, Parcel 29. It's a portion of that. The 911 address is not available. Staff notes that the Planning Commission held a public hearing on back in April regarding this application. At that time, they deferred action, and then at their next meeting, give me just a minute, they did recommend approval at their May 11th meeting, and that included 19 conditions of approval. Since then, we have received three additional letters in opposition to the application. One is from Shannon and Ada McKinney, that they live in Pinewater Woods, and they have concerns about the development. We also received one from Coy and Jennifer Thomas, also in Pinewater Farms, about the increase of the building and the development being occurred and the traffic on the roads. And then we also received a letter from Kenneth Sale on 15 Pinewater Drive regarding their concerns about the development. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from council? If not, Mr. Hutt.
Good afternoon. My name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown, representing the owner and developer of the property. With me this afternoon, to my left and your right, is Ben Gordy. He's here also on behalf of the owner and developer and as a senior project manager on the project. In addition, he is a licensed realtor with Ocean Atlantic Companies. On my right, your left, sort of behind me, is Zachary Crouch, who is a licensed professional engineer with Davis Bowen and Friedel. The property that is the subject of today's application and which is now on the screens appearing around the room is located at the intersection of John J. Williams Highway, which everybody knows also knows as Route 24, and Sloan Road. As you likely already know, the property on the other side of Route 24 was the subject of a subdivision application which the Planning Commission heard on December 22nd and approved on January 26th. That subdivision property is across the street from the property that's highlighted in yellow. It's on what I'll call the Holly Mount side of Route 24. As you can see, looking at the tax map that's on the screen in front of you, the property that is the subject of today's application is on the opposite side, or the Sloan Road side of Route 24. By way of further background about this property, almost exactly 10 years ago, in 2007, the property was the subject of a change of zone application, which resulted in, on July 31st of 2007, County Council approving a change of zone from AR1 to MRRPC. At that time, there was 102 units that was approved. As many of you are aware, if construction is not substantially underway within 5 years, the RPC portion of that process lapsed, and that is what happened to the approval for those 102 units. For your quick reference, the minutes from those meetings are included as the last two exhibits in the exhibit notebook that you likely have in front of you regarding this application. This afternoon's application is for a townhome project on approximately 31 acres of ground. It's just a touch under 31 acres, with 100 townhomes being within an area of 8 acres which leaves almost two-thirds of the property as open space and will leave that area in an exist as it exists today. This afternoon, I'm going to ask Mr. Crouch if he would to walk the council through the plan for the specifics of the plan for the site, and then Mr. Gordy will address the plans regarding the types of townhomes and how that would integrate on the site and in the local community. And then at the end, I'll provide some summarizing comments. At this time, I'll ask Mr. Crouch if he can walk the council through the site plan.
Good afternoon, council. For the record, I'm Zach Crouch with Davis Bowen and Friedel. I just kind of want to walk through this and kind of go over some of the improvements we're doing in reference to the property itself and one change that we made from the Planning Commission meeting based on some of the public's comments, and also to go over some of the DelDOT improvements for this area. But the property, as expressed, is zone MR. So the number of units that we're proposing today is 100 townhouse with a pool and clubhouse, which the density is based on 100 units is 3.23 units per acre. There's no tidal wetlands on the site, and there's no wellhead protection areas on the site as well. The CPCN for this site would be the county for sewer, and Todd Water will be providing water for this site. A traffic impact study was done for this site, and there's a significant amount of improvements that are required by the developer for both this project and the project with the single families, which is on the opposite side of Route 24. There is a required buffer around the perimeter, in which the whole idea about this concept was to try to locate the development within basically the field area and try to keep as many trees as possible. And if you look at the existing forest in the at the bottom right, I mean, we're keeping all those trees. Actually, that multi-use path that's shown on the plan will meander between the trees, and the whole concept is to keep all the trees in that area preserved. One comment that was brought up at the Planning Commission meeting was a little bit of a better buffer between the adjacent property, Pondwood, the development to the right, and also the back of the Pondwater Woods, which is to the right. So what we did, and based on the booklets that are in front of you today that you all got, hopefully enough time, if I'm not mistaken.
Can you make sure you speak up microphone better, please?
We increased that buffer from the 30 foot that was previously shown to 50 feet, which there again is part of your record. There again, that was some of the comments that were brought up at the Planning Commission, even though it's not required, but we told the public we provide, and that's in the information that's provided to you.
Zach, that's that on that back line, not where you are currently now, right?
Yes, it's this line right here. We increased that to 50 feet, which is in front of you in the booklets that were revised, dated
I got this book last week.
Yeah.
June of 2017. And there again, the only revision is we basically went on record and said we would increase that buffer, and that's what we did. And if you look at the color rendering on that, we increased that buffer to 50 feet instead of the 30 feet that was shown.
Is it 50 on the other greenway there?
Yeah, this here is 50 feet from the back of the property to the back of the townhouses, but as you can see, there was a difference here, and we wanted to make them both the same, so we told them we would do it, and what's on record is what we are showing.
So did you shift everything, or did you just shorten the units or something?
No, we shifted everything.
Pushed everything over.
As explained, there's a traffic impact study that was done, and part of the improvements that were required by DLDOT is actually a significant amount of improvements, because what we're doing is we are relocating Sloan Road and actually eliminating this entrance intersection. So we're relocating it and actually redoing this whole intersection with improvements on Holly Mount, Sloan, and Route 24. That entrance or intersection is going to be designed with turn lanes, right turn lanes, and also pedestrian crossing. One of the questions that came up during the Planning Commission public hearing was about the signal. Well, unfortunately, we don't have the responsibility of putting in the signal at this particular time. Now, there is a signal agreement that is part of the TIS that the developer has to sign and has to abide by. As you well know, DLDOT installs the signal when it's warranted. So when it's warranted, the intersection will be ready. Only thing they got to do is put up the signal. And there again, the signal agreement is the responsibility of the developer, which will be paying for the signal. But at this particular time, we cannot say when the signal's going in, because it does not go in until it's warranted. But the amount of improvements that are required to fix this whole intersection, and also to eliminate one so they're directly across from each other, in which both the single family development on the east side or on the west side will have access to Holly Mount, and the townhouse development, which we're talking about today, will have access off of Sloan Road. So there will be no direct access off of 24. The project is also going to include a pool house and a pool, and also sidewalks on one side of the street, as well as the walking trail itself. We're able to preserve over 19 acres of open space based on the layouts provided for you, and stormwater management will be a combination of infiltration and a wet pond to meet the new Denerec requirements for stormwater management. And with that said, that concludes my presentation.
Did you ever look at, with it being its MR district is single family homes, what you could have fit in there with just single family homes in an MR district? Did you ever look at a concept like single families as you were trying to figure out what to do with this site?
Not really, just because the previous application was for 102, and there again, the whole concept here was to preserve as many of the woods as possible. Mm-hmm. If you do single family, you're clear cutting everything on it, and you got a 20-foot buffer. Mm-hmm. We're providing a 50-foot buffer on both sides. All the trees in that back area are staying non-disturbed, mm-hmm. and that was the whole concept, to try to develop everything within the field which exists today, and keep all the existing trees from being removed. Now, as you well know, if you do 10,000 square foot lots in this, everything's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to, you know, work with the existing conditions out there from the perspective of trying to preserve trees and open space, in which there again, 19 acres of open space out of 30 acres. I mean,
right.
Woodlands, mm-hmm. that is. Is a, you know, a significant amount of open space that's being preserved. Thank you.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Ben Gordy, representing the applicant. So a couple things I wanted to talk about. First, I wanted to give you kind of an idea on the product info of the townhomes. So we have some examples of some other townhomes that we've built in other communities within Sussex County. So we haven't we're not far enough along to say, yes, we're definitely building these townhomes again, but it's just to give you a point of reference of kind of what they look like, sizes, square footages, and all that. So this one right here is a six-unit townhome building that's located in Breakwater off of Gills Neck Road near Lewis. Those units start out at about 1,600 square feet, and they usually go up to about 2,000. Most of those have the ability to have a first floor master suite. So there's typically a master bedroom on the first floor, all your living spaces on the first floor, and then any secondary bedrooms. Most of those are three bedroom units are on the second floor. So it gives someone to have that single floor living so they can kind of condense their house if that's what they're looking to do. And then we also have another example of some townhomes that we have built in the peninsula.
This is the only one that got brought up.
Okay, well, it's similar, looks similar to that. They're a little larger. They start out around 2,000 square feet and top out around 2,300 square feet. Like I said, the minimum bedrooms for those two types of units is three. You can expand those up to four and sometimes even five, depending on what options you do. The height of those buildings, I believe the Breakwater ones are about 33 feet in height, and the Peninsula ones are 36 feet in height. So obviously it's less than the 42 feet that is permitted for any structure in Sussex County, which includes single family homes. The previous application for this included what are called big house units. So if you're familiar with Painter's Mill off of Cave Neck Road near Milton, it's a six unit condo building. It has two first floor units. So the entire living space is on the first floor. All six garages are on the first floor. And then the second floor has four other units. So you have to walk up the stairs to access your living space. We thought the townhomes might be a better option for here because it gives you, there's truly no steps. If you just need to get the secondary bedrooms, we can kind of provide that. You don't have to go upstairs to get to your kitchen or anything like that. So that was our thinking behind the townhomes instead of the big house units. I also wanted to talk about the amenity here. As Mr. Crouch mentioned, we're proposing a pool and pool house on this side of the community. These homeowners will also have access to the amenities on the subdivision side. So there's a separate pool, a separate clubhouse over there. They'll have access to Burton's Pond. We're planning some sort of water amenity, whether it's kayaks or paddle boards or something like that. So these homeowners will have access to that. They'll join the same homeowners association. On this side, we will likely have a sub-association for the townhomes, and that's basically just going to include your lawn maintenance. So they'll pay a separate rate just to get all the grass cut at the same time from the townhomes. I also wanted to mention that about a month or two before the public hearing at the planning and zoning level, we sent out a letter to all the adjacent property owners that are kind of most affected by the townhome plans where we can preserve the trees. So it was a lot of the homeowners in Brandy Wood, Herring Creek Estates, and Pinewater Woods, and basically showed them, hey, we're proposing townhomes. We had some examples. I met with a handful of them at various times. And said, if we did do single family homes here, we would, essentially, as Mr. Crouch said, we'd have to clear cut all those trees. We couldn't really preserve anything. So that's why we were proposing the townhomes. They all seem to be, they seem to favor that. Gives them a little more privacy behind their homes. Lastly, wanted to talk about one of the big things we always hear when we propose a multifamily community is the decrease in property values. As Mr. Hutt mentioned, I've been a licensed realtor for 10 years now. I haven't seen any evidence of that locally, and there's plenty of national studies that also show that there's really no evidence of property values decreasing just because of multifamily product is located in the same vicinity. And to kind of couple that is, we've also, like as I've just referenced, we also have the 265 unit subdivision across Route 24 that's part of this. So if we had any kind of feeling or inclination that multifamily townhomes would decrease the property value, obviously, we don't want to decrease the property value of 265 single-family homes to get 100 townhomes on this property. There's also evidence on some of the other communities, as I mentioned, Breakwater earlier, which is located on Gills Neck Road. Breakwater has a mix of single-family homes, twin homes, and townhomes. And as you probably are aware, Gills Neck Road has a lot of larger lot communities. So Wolf Point, Wolf Run, Hawk's Eye, Showfield's under construction now. I haven't seen any reference to any of those property values in those large communities being decreased because we built some townhomes in a community across the street adjacent to those. Also wanted to give you just a couple other references of kind of master plan communities that my office has been involved with over the last 10 or 15 years. As I mentioned, Painter's Mill is a 299 total units off Cave Neck Road. Has a mix of single-family homes, condos, and duplexes. Breakwater, as I just mentioned, single-family homes, townhomes, duplexes. The Peninsula, which is a mixture of single-family homes, townhomes, condo flats. Obviously, the Villages of Five Points, which has all the above and some commercial. And then Coastal Club's one of our more recent communities that's under construction now. It has a mixture of single-family homes, townhomes, and duplexes. So just to give you a reference on some of the sales prices for Coastal Club, we started selling that community in 2015. There's three different builders in there. To date, we've sold 225 single-family homes, and we've sold 70 townhomes, which is all of the townhomes that are located in Phase 1. There's additional townhomes in Phase 6, but we're still designing that phase. So to give you an idea of some of the prices, these are contract prices, which are before the final selection, so they can change. Usually they go up when someone goes in a design center and chooses some more options. But the minimum price of a townhome we've sold in Coastal Club is $287,990. The maximum is $394,740. The median price is $319,080, and the average price of all the townhomes is $324,680. The single-family homes in there, the minimum contract price is $353,685. The maximum is $851,258. The median is $564.37, and the average is $563,633. So, from an average standpoint, you'll see that the difference between a townhome and a single-family home in the same community, where you have to drive by the townhomes to get to the single-family. Single families are selling for an average of $240,000 more than the townhomes are. So, as I mentioned, we don't believe that there's any evidence locally or historically, nationally, anywhere that having multifamily next to a single family is going to negatively impact some existing property values. That's all I have.
As you heard from Mr. Crouch and Mr. Gordy, at the Planning Commission hearing, there were folks in opposition. I believe many of those individuals are here as well again today, as well as the pieces of correspondence that Ms. Cornwell referenced at the outset. And as Mr. Crouch indicated, there was an adjustment made based on those comments to create a greater buffer along the one side of the community. If I were going to try to generally summarize, and again, just to put things into categories, if I was going to summarize the comments that are in the correspondence that's in the file, as well as what was heard at the last Planning Commission hearing, it would be concerns about infrastructure and compatibility. With respect to infrastructure, what you heard and what's in the exhibit materials is that this is a somewhat notorious intersection for its accidents and just basically, I guess, generally speaking, a dangerous intersection. And that is going to be realigned at the developer's expense. You've also heard Mr. Crouch talk about the fact that at some point in time when DelDOT thinks in its wisdom that a signal is warranted, that there will be a signal placed there again at the developer's expense. With respect to other infrastructure items like utilities, water and sewer will be through public utilities through Tidewater and Sussex County. The second category of concerns related largely to compatibility. You just heard the testimony of Mr. Gordy regarding mixed uses. And I think what's significant about that is that we don't have to rely on some sort of national study or a study that may not seem relevant. As he cited real-world examples from right here in Sussex County of places where there are multifamily homes in communities and adjacent to communities. He spoke about the Gill's Neck area and that there is not a negative impact on property value. From a physical appearance standpoint, the compatibility will be the same as you heard Mr. Gordy testify as the structures that were up on the screen before are of the same height as a single-family home. These are not high-rises or any type of a townhome like that. The building height in Sussex County, as you know, is 42 feet, regardless of whether it's a multifamily home or a single-family home. The proposed use is consistent with Sussex County's comprehensive plan. This property is also within the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone and is consistent with that, as well as being part of the Inland Bays pollution control strategy. The state of Delaware strategy for state policies and spendings identifies this area as an investment level two. And if you look at investment level two and what the state says the investment level two strategy is, I'm going to read part of it as it's important because this is how this has been designated by the state of Delaware. Investments should encourage departure from the typical single-family dwelling developments and promote a broader mix of housing types and commercial sites, encouraging compact, mixed-use development where applicable. Overall, the state's intent is to use its spending and management tools to promote well-designed development in these areas. Such development provides for a variety of housing types, user-friendly transportation systems, and provides essential open spaces and recreational facilities, other public facilities, and services to promote a sense of community. And that's what you see in this application. This application shows that it's why it's important to have more than one tool available in the land use planning and zoning toolbox. Because certainly, as Mr. Cole referenced in his comments to Mr. Crouch, there is a straight grid-type subdivision that could be accomplished of this property. And as you heard the testimony from Mr. Crouch, that would result in essentially the deforestation of this lot, or this parcel, rather, so that you could maximize the number of lots that would be able to fit in that area. And so rather than undertake that process and to be consistent with level two strategies that were just read, when you can put the multifamilies through the conditional use process in this, you can put them in an area of approximately 8 acres, leaving two-thirds of the site in its current condition. And as was said, if you drive past that site right now, essentially where the field is where these townhomes and the road and the amenities would be located. For all of these reasons, the applicant asked the council to adopt the recommendation of the Planning Commission and approve this conditional use.
Thank you. Mr. Hutt, I have a question. In the first phase, Sloan Road is to be relocated. There appears to be, when that occurs, there will be a parcel of land that's left on the northeast corner of this tract. Is that included now in part of your open space?
It is not part of the 31 acres.
It is not part of the 31 acres?
No.
So that is owned by a different property owner? Or is that owned by, once the road is relocated?
Show us a piece that will be created.
You're talking about the triangular portion.
Yes. After the road is relocated, there will be a triangular portion right there between the red lines. That will still be owned by your client, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Will that be considered part of the open space and in the calculations?
No.
That is not?
Is that a
Are there plans for that in the future? What will happen to that?
There are no plans at this moment for what that's going to be.
Is that on the same parcel, or is it a separate parcel now? Or is it newly created parcel after? It'll be subdivided off?
We have to go to, the abandonment process.
Mm-hmm.
It's right away.
Right.
Okay, so when this is dedicated to DLDOT, then of course they abandon this, and this is going to be combined with this parcel.
Right, but
it's
that
not included. It's not included in open space. The 31 acres is on the south side of the new located Sloan Road.
Yeah. So that portion, that triangular portion, will be owned by your client, not part of this application, and there's no proposal at this time for what's going to occur to that.
That's correct. And if you look in your exhibit notebook at tab G, that's a legal description that only includes the approximately 30.95, but 31 acres on the western side of Sloan Road.
Okay.
To the realigned Sloan Road, sure. To be correct.
The existing Sloan Road that is to be abandoned, that portion that is northeast of it, is that owned by your client as well, or is that another party? That portion just above that, yes. There appears right.
Go back to the other drawing.
Go back up. You've gone too far.
Down a little bit.
Right there.
Stop.
That is owned by somebody else.
That is, okay.
And the next piece above it is owned by these?
It is actually part of this parcel of land. That's why the legal description and the title indicates that it's a portion of, because this portion is actually part of this parcel of land.
It's all one parcel.
It's all one parcel. But this one is somebody else's parcel.
And that's why there is a legal description of the area that's the subject of this application, because it goes across, because of it, the fact that it currently goes across where Sloan Road is currently, and also doesn't include the lands when Sloan Road would be realigned.
Okay.
Let me further with that question. So you're creating a triangle piece, and
there won't be a triangle piece.
Right.
But
if you go to, just so we're all on the same page,
we'll get it up on this.
Exhibit C, which is.
I got numbers. I have numbers.
You got letters in front of numbers. You got letters
got
first.
It.
C.
Exhibit C? I got it.
I think it's 1C, technically.
I got it. I'm with you.
Okay. Yes.
I got C.
All right. So there again, we have Sloan Road. Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
So we got Sloan Road on the other side. I don't have my glasses, but Burton Bray.
Yes.
Properties LLC, and then Burton Bray Property LLC. So that's going to be, when that's cut out, it's going to be combined with parcel
57?
Right. It's going to be, So that parcel goes on both sides of the road. This is one parcel here. Okay. So when this is relocated, this is going to be combined with this parcel.
Okay, that was my question. So it's not going to be just the triangle piece.
It's not going to be.
It's going to be part of a larger piece.
That is correct.
And the zoning, because currently the entire acreage is MR. So then you cut you straighten out Sloan Road.
Yes.
So now you have a triangle piece that's MR. Right?
Yes.
And it's going to be joined to that yellow piece that's up there now.
Which is also
MR.
It's also MR.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is the property next to it MR?
No.
No, this parcel is AR1.
But that's basically the pond. You know what I mean? That's all wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay. So you're creating a bigger MR on the other side of Sloan Road.
Yeah, because the triangle piece
is going to be added.
Right, because of the relocation of the road.
Okay. Right, there will be more MR ground on the other side of Sloan Road than there currently is. That's
correct.
That's correct.
Which will be the subject of a future application.
Sure. Ms. Cornwell, you said that piece of property is owned by different people.
It's a different tax parcel. It is actually owned by the same people, but it is a different tax parcel.
It's all owned by this Burton Bray LLC. All right. If you'd please hold the noise down in the audience, you'll have your time to speak if you'd like to. Let's be polite. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from anyone, counsel?
I have a question for Mr. Crouch. I always like to ask him questions. Did you consider, I asked you about considering single family, did you consider a detached multifamily scheme here? Because when you do look at the site plans and the adjoining properties, you can see that largely it's a single family home area. And this is, at the present time, kind of out of character. And the multifamily, the pictures, those pretty pictures that were shown, show big, you know, big townhouse buildings all attached. Many subdivisions and developers in Sussex County have come up with the detached multifamily, which gives the feel of more of a single family home development, which would be more compatible. But is there enough room for you to take your plan and make it a detached proposal by to eating up some of that field that's open space?
Well, the detached, I mean,
they're more expensive, I know that.
I mean, so there was the whole idea was to do a product that you saw today,
right,
that also worked in other developments, and also to try to provide as much open space as possible.
Right.
With 19 acres of, I mean, it's over 50% of open space. Anything else that's going to spread stuff out is, of course, going mm-hmm. to reduced to open space.
Right. But actually, I mean, the general area is more AR1 type of development, and it's unfortunate that a earlier county council deemed that to be appropriate for MR development, and now we're stuck with that, basically, once you rezone it. So now we're looking at that. But it's still a single-family home area, and I was just trying to find out if you considered putting a product in there that would be more compatible even and still be multifamily. And you say you didn't. So, okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Mr. Burton, you
I do.
Have a question?
You mentioned the road improvements and that the light was, of course, controlled by DLDOT. But what? Tell me the order of moving Sloan Road in relationship to construction of the...
Mr. Crouch can speak to it because he did the... I think at the Planning Commission had the same question, but if I can just summarize it quickly, because the entrance is on that part of Sloan Road, the intersection gets realigned at the outset. And
yeah, I mean, the improvements on Sloan Road is going to have to be the first thing that's done. Just because of, one is our entrance is off of Sloan Road, the relocated Sloan Road. So we're not, you know, just as, I mean, we're not... Our entrance is not up in this area here. I mean, it's off of the relocated Sloan Road. And the improvements have to be done at that intersection. So.
Well, my thought is that you could construct by using the current road, right, and come in.
Yeah, but we wouldn't do that.
So you're doing the road construction.
DLDOT's requiring us to phase that, so that has to be installed.
And
because
then,
there again, the just as I'm sure all of you are aware, I mean, there's an issue at that intersection, at both intersections. So the sooner we address the issue and tie both of them in to eliminate two entrances, which are 150 feet apart instead of being an actual intersection, eliminates a lot of safety concerns.
And will there be turn lanes on, I guess, three of the roads, right? So can I get in my own lane and go left or right off of 24?
Yes, you're going to go left and right.
In my own lane. And there'll be a car in the middle of me.
Yes. So there's going to be
both ways.
Yes, yeah, there's a right. Yes, on Holly Mount, and also 24 is going to have a left turn lane too for stacking.
Okay.
From southbound and northbound.
All right. So really, all of that gets changed from what it is today.
And also pedestrian crossings as well, just for whatever it's worth, because that's what the state of Delaware requires you to do now. So there'll be crosswalks and pedestrian. So everything's going to be designed to install a signal when they say go. When they say go, they can install the signal. They enforce the traffic signal agreement, and the signal goes up. But it's all contingent on the warrants. I mean, I'm not saying it's not needed now, but unfortunately, you know, until it meets the warrants, you know, DLDOT, they know the signal's going to go there. It's just a matter of timing.
And so until that time, there's just going to be another stop sign added on the Sloan Road side of things.
Yes, with the turn lanes, remind you. I mean, right now there's no turn lanes there on Sloan and or Holly Mount.
Right.
In other words, all the improvements, I think, will be made, except there's just no signaling at this point, at this time.
That is.
So the only in the future, the only difference would be a signal would show up.
That's correct.
Everything else would remain the same.
Yep.
And I'm assuming that the game is to sell the units and not rent them. These are for sale?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
No, yes, sir. If you want a longer answer, Mr. Gordy's happy.
No, let him say
yes is good. Yes is good. That's all the questions I have.
I do have one additional question. I noticed that under paragraph F of the conditions, it indicated that the Sloan Road relocation shall be completed within the first phase of the development. Talking just based on your testimony, it would appear that it would have to occur prior to the first phase. Is that correct?
Which one are we looking at?
It was on F of the conditions by planning and zoning. It says all entrances, intersections, etc. And then the last sentence, in addition, the relocation of Sloan Road shall be completed within the first phase of the development.
Yeah, because before they can sell a house, the improvements have to be made.
Okay, so
will construction occur at the same time? Most definitely. You know, it would probably start site work while the improvements are going on with Sloan, but before they sell the first house, that has to be turned over and functional per DLDOT.
So, Mr. Hutt, if that were changed to state that relocation had to occur before the first certificate of completion given, that would be no problem?
Correct, because as Mr. Crouch has indicated, I'd imagine there would be some field construction that would take place prior to the completion of the moving of Sloan Road.
Your concern was the word phasing.
Yeah, in the first phase, that could indicate by the last house
right.
It would be done as opposed to prior to the first house.
I agree with that.
I got another question. I guess to the right-hand side, those three buildings with, 18 units? Three sixes?
Yes.
Right? 18 units. That seems to have, it's like a big wall there. Is there any possibility, being you're the designer, that you could shift one of those buildings over to closer to the entrance somehow by just doing, again, some shifting? Because the three buildings lined up like that make a substantial wall. You got three lots, single family home lots on one side, and you have 18 units backing up to them. Seems to be pretty dramatic on the impact of those types of uses there. Is there any room for you to shuffle things around a little bit and put things like something like that, right? In other words, I'm looking at this one. Is this the new one? Okay.
This did not get up on your presentation, okay. But it was submitted. But you can see where we increased that, just like I said, to 50 feet, which is a huge difference.
Okay.
Right?
Good, okay.
And then we shifted that around.
Okay, you did do that. Okay. No, I was zeroing in on that.
I understand.
Okay.
So that was, you know, the 20 feet, I think, required on this one, but we made everything 50.
And these are what, 40-foot separations?
That is correct, per code.
Could that one be, again, to break it up a little bit, this is, you know, the angle's not bad. I mean, could that be shifted also there, I guess, and break and open, give more open space between those buildings, I think.
We could do that, but just trying to increase on the impervious area.
Well, you got probably, well, that's all right. I'd rather see the increase on the impervious area and spread some buildings. But anyway, okay, that's a possibility.
Yep.
Okay.
More questions?
Okay. Do you have anyone else, Mr. Hutt?
No, that concludes the presentation.
Is there anyone else today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing no one else, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? I saw your hand go up first, so would you like to come forward, please?